a CFP, so a certified financial planner, and I am here with our guest, Ariana.
Yes.
Did I nail it?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, good. Don't want to mess up your fake name. So tell us a little bit about yourself, what your job is, how old you are, how much you make.
Sure. So I am a digital project manager, and I mean, very simply, that means I help build websites and manage budgets and that kind of thing.
Do you build them yourself?
I don't know. I manage the developers and the designers. I'm kind of the point person between the client and our company.
Okay.
And right now I work mostly in like the financial space, actually.
Oh, that's really interesting.
I don't know anything about it, which is why I'm here. But that's the niche that I'm in. And I'm 33 years old, and I'm currently making 85K plus a merit-based bonus.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, single or married?
Married.
And then you're living in the city?
Yes, okay. Yeah.
So I like to differentiate between living outside the city or in the city, because in the city, obviously, cost of living is
sure.
higher. And then, so you're married. How long have you been married?
2.5 years. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And then what does your husband do and how much does he make?
So he is a musician and a composer.
Oh, that's interesting.
He's a freelancer, but the way that he makes the majority of his money is he's a teaching artist, which is something kind of a little bit like New York and maybe LA specific, where there are these musicians that go into schools and teach kids like how to write their own musicals or...
oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, how to compose their own operas.
That.
Yeah, he goes in and, teaches kids about music at a very young age to try and get them passionate about it.
And is it like a program that kids go through? So he's in the school for like a whole semester?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
he has like one day.
So it is like maybe one day a week, but it's considered a residency. So he goes into a bunch of different schools all over the city. And
how did you get into that?
It was funny. He worked for a children's theater company, and there were some people from this particular company, and they were commenting about him. I was kind of like eavesdropping on their conversation. And they were commenting about him, and they were like, oh, he's this amazing pianist and he's got so much good energy, I think he'd be great at this. And I kind of stepped in and I was like,
really?
I was like, I can introduce you to him.
I know him.
And that was like 6 years ago. And so he's gotten...
That's amazing.
Yeah, he works for that company.
Great job of being proactive.
Hey, man, you've got to.
You've got to ask for it.
You've got to. So he works for a couple different companies all in that same vein. And it's actually, you know, for artists that are kind of trying to make ends meet, it's a great, you know, job option, really.
Right, and you're getting to help little kids, right?
Yeah. If you're good with kids.
Yeah, help kids develop and give them an opportunity to do something they normally would not. I mean, we definitely did not have the ability to write an opera when I was in school.
Right, yeah, and the kids get to go see an opera. It's really cool.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's really cool, yeah.
Okay, so he does that, and then he also...
He teaches lessons, like actual piano and voice lessons as well, which he mostly gets paid in cash for that. I would say it really depends on the month. I tried to average out. He normally makes around, like, $3,000 to $3,500 a month, like, take home.
Right, and so when he freelances, do they send him 1099s? Or because this is, like, through a company with the, at least with the school program, do they give him, like, a regular paycheck where they take out Social Security and...
One of his companies, it's a regular paycheck. Okay. And then all the rest, it's 1099s.
That's so then at the end of the year when you go to file taxes...
It's a big thing. Like, my stuff is pretty simple.
Right,
it's a W-2. Then I hand it off. And then, but we actually have somebody who prepares our taxes
Perfect.
For us.
So you give them all the 1099s.
Mm-hmm.
And so far you don't have to do estimate it. Right, so you...
I don't actually know how that works. I think he should be doing it quarterly, technically, but he doesn't.
He hasn't, okay. Yeah, so just for the listeners, sometimes when you're 1099, meaning that you're not employed, you're a contractor for these different companies, then you don't have your Social Security and your Medicare, you don't have any of your payroll taxes really taken out, so you get the full amount, and so then you have to set aside the money that you owe the government. And so if you end up having not set aside the money, what sometimes they'll make you do is pay it on a quarterly basis. The IRS doesn't generally like to wait for money owed to them. They like it as soon as possible. Okay, so far you haven't had to do that. Or your accountant would tell you.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, we really only talk to her, though, around tax time.
Right,
so
that's typical.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he has decent income, too.
Yeah, no, for a musician, he's making, like, really good money. No complaints there.
So then, so between both of you, you're bringing in probably close to 130.
Yeah, around 40, there.
Yeah. Okay, great. What else? So do you rent in the city or?
So we actually, we own our apartment.
Ooh.
It's, I know it sounds fancy. It's absolutely not. So I can talk about this a little bit. We got into an apartment through the HDFC program.
Okay.
Which I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I'm not familiar with that.
So it's this program that I'm going to be a really bad spokesman for it, but it started, I think, in the 70s or the 80s, and basically all these big buildings were going into default, and so the city was having to take them over, mm-hmm. and the city was having to be a landlord, and the city is not good at that.
Definitely not good at it.
So what they did was they started trying to sell these apartments back to the people that were already in them, or fill these empty or abandoned apartments with people from lower income housing, mm-hmm. and they sold these apartments at really affordable rates. Again, I'm not going to get these numbers right, but like somewhere
you
like...
You have to be a certain income level. I know a little bit about it. You have to be a certain income level to qualify. And then when you go to sell it, you don't go to sell it at market price. You go to sell it at whatever...
It depends on the kind of agreement you have with the city.
Okay.
So ours, technically, right now, we can sell it for whatever we want. But because we have to sell it to somebody who makes under a certain amount... It's, you know...
You cap it.
I can't turn around and try and sell the apartment for
double.
$1 million because nobody that makes under that. And so we bought the apartment about 4 years ago.
Oh, great. Okay.
And so at the time, I was working at a startup. So we did qualify because I was getting... Because
you only need to qualify when you're applying for it.
Exactly.
And once... Yeah, I had a girlfriend who... I think it's the same program, but you just have to make that income level through the application. And once you close...
Close. Well, that's, I mean, that's the point of the program is, you know, upward mobility.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, a ton of people that have been in my building are actually we're 12 buildings. So we're a 12 building co-op. We're huge. But a bunch of people that have, you know, been there since the 80s or the 90s have
done
really, you know, compared to where they were coming from, which is basically a lot of them, the projects, like they're doing great, you know.
And now you own something.
Yes, yeah.
Very different than renting.
Yes, so.
And then how much did you have to put down for it?
We put down 20%.
Good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So we didn't have to do the.
And do you know what your interest rate is?
Oh my gosh.
No, I think
I want to say it's.
It should be low. It's probably it's
between 3 and 4.
I was gonna say it's probably between 3 and 4.
Yeah,
which is great because you also then not only did you buy a piece of the city, which is really impressive.
Yeah,
and you put 20% down, which means that you actually own a good chunk of it.
Yeah,
sometimes people don't put as much down, so I think it's a good idea to put more down. We also locked in a historic interest rate.
Yeah, I mean we're really happy about that. We are. Currently paying, when we first moved in, we were paying less between our mortgage and our maintenance than we were paying in rent.
So can I ask, what are you paying with everything right now?
We, between our mortgage and our maintenance, it is $1,960.
Great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then you have, you said it was a co-op?
It is,
so co-op fees.
So that's including the maintenance.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then insurance?
We have homeowner's insurance. Okay. I think that's like between $60 and $70 a month. It's really
so
not terrible.
Oh, wow. So just over a little over $2,000 for the insurance, the maintenance, and the mortgage.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So you got more money back in your budget by buying.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the first year, 2 years that we were living there, we actually had a roommate. We brought a roommate in.
Oh my gosh. So you have a 2-bedroom.
It's actually a 3-bedroom.
It's really a 3-bedroom. Oh my God. That's crazy.
I know. I sound like a jerk right
now. No, that's great.
No. So, so we have our bedroom and a music room for my husband.
Okay.
And then we have a guest room. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you took a roommate in for the first year to save more.
To save more. And because these apartments are not, you know, they're not renovated. They haven't been touched since the 80s. So we were trying to save up to do some renovations.
Okay.
So we renovated the kitchen. It's been about a year and a half ago now.
Okay.
Yeah. So we still, the bathrooms are like, I don't want to paint this like luxurious picture.
Would you call it antique?
I wish it were antique. It's like the color of the bathrooms is what I refer to as penitentiary green. It's like it's this really faded, gross green tile.
No.
So like there are things that need to be done, which is kind of
so it's a starter.
Exactly,
and then you can spend the money to fix it up.
Yeah, yeah. The tricky thing with HDFCs is though, like what you were talking about earlier, you can't turn around and sell.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like when I put that money in, I will probably get that money back.
But you want to be very careful because you don't want to go and invest a lot of money into renovations and then have it be where you don't get the money back.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you do have to be cautious about it.
Yeah. So,
but you want to make sure you're comfortable where you're living.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to like slip because a tile fell off of the, it's just, it's the next level.
It's like a balance between renovating it so that you like it a little bit more and then not dumping too much money that you don't get it back.
Exactly.
Yeah. That'll definitely be a balance.
Yeah. You're speaking like my husband right now.
Whereas,
whereas I'm like, let's do it. Like these bathrooms, like let's make these amazing. So yeah, we're towing the line. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. You have to meet somewhere in the middle. So you got married about 2.5 years ago, but you bought the apartment with your husband before you got married.
Yes.
And how have you figured out finances? I think that's something a lot of our listeners would like to know.
Yeah. I think, so my parents have always shared finances.
Okay.
It's always been like total, you know, and they both work for the government. So my mom was a social worker. My dad was a teacher. So, you know, not particularly affluent. So I just think they were making kind of similar amounts of money. And so they always just shared everything.
Okay.
And so going into the marriage, that was also kind of my expectation.
So and you have everything go into like a joint checking account and then
yeah.
just, everything just comes out?
Yeah. The tricky part is because my husband does lessons and he gets paid in cash, sometimes mm-hmm. we have, it ebbs and flows, but sometimes we have, you know, a couple thousand dollars worth of cash that we can't,
you have on hand.
Right, yeah. And we're like, okay, well, I guess we'll get delivery, you know,
right.
that kind of stuff. But, and I don't really have much of a purview on when he's getting that money or...
Right, because you don't know because it ebbs and flows as,
right.
as a freelancer.
Yeah, we have, you know, we keep it in a certain place in the house, but I don't keep really good track of how much he's bringing in
from
the cash.
Jobs, right.
And, but the rest of the money all gets dumped into the joint checking. And... thus far, we've both been pretty responsible about it. It's kind of like this good faith thing, I think, until it gets tested, until, like, somebody blows, you know, a random $3,000 in something crazy. But for us, it's always been, he's very frugal, I think, by nature,
mm-hmm.
Because he's doing well now, but when he first moved to the city, I mean, he was basically doing like mommy and me classes and making $30 a class, and that was how he was paying his rent. So
there's a lot of mommy and me classes.
Yeah, so I think he just kind of
when you start out, I think being frugal and being on a strict budget is a habit that you build, and so if he did that for multiple years, it's probably ingrained in
him. Yeah. Whereas I think like it's just my personality to be I'm just not very I don't spend a ton of money in general.
Okay.
But this was actually really interesting because when I was going through my finances to come here and talk to you, I was like, oh, the things we spend money on have changed.
I was going to ask. Okay, so you have, it sounds like a good amount coming in on a monthly basis. His ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
But cash is always really nice.
Cash is
great.
Yeah.
And then you have just over $2,000 for... your apartment, which you own,
mm-hmm.
and what are your other expenses? Like, what does it look like?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's really, you know, the typical things. I mean, we...
So you pay for cell phones?
Yes, we pay for cell phones.
You are my first guest, not on the family plan.
Oh, well, okay, I should redact this.
Okay.
Okay, my husband pays for his. Is this not the most messed up thing, though? I mean, this is, like, there's going to be some thesis is going to be written about this, how, like, our cell phone plans are indicative of our family relationship. Some, I don't know, I'm not a psychology major, but, like, it's so weird because I'm still on my family plan with my mom and my dad.
Yeah.
And I'm an only child, and I think my dad just loves it. Like, I think for him, it makes him happy to pay for it. My husband is on a family plan with, actually, at this point, just his sister. So he and his sister are on the plan. And I have AT&T and he has Verizon. So, like, I don't want to get off my plan. He doesn't want to get off his. But so, yeah, he pays that. And then, you know, internet, too,
okay.
is lumped into the Verizon we get, Fios. So he pays, yeah, that.
He pays that, okay.
Through there. And, yeah, I think that's, like, $140 a month
okay.
for all of that. One thing that we do... is we actually have a car in the city. We park our car. So we live in Upper Manhattan, but we park our car in the Bronx
because oh, wow.
the parking is cheaper there.
How cheap for parking?
$120 a month, which
wow,
is
okay.
very, very good.
Yeah, that is very reasonable.
But it's in the Bronx.
So it's a little bit of a trip to get it.
Yeah, but we really use it just to travel to where I'm from and then where my husband is from.
Okay, so like to visit family.
Yeah, to visit family, and we have a dog, so that's really...
Oh, it makes it easier to travel.
Yeah, I mean, and he's big. He's like 75 pounds. So
what kind of dog is it?
It's an English Bull Terrier. It's like the Target dog.
Oh, he's super cute. So for those of you that are listening and can't see the picture of her adorable dog, he looks just like the Target dog.
Yes.
The Target mascot, right?
Yeah, the Target. That's him.
Anyway. Okay, so you have a car.
So you have a car.
Do you have a car payment?
No, it is. It's the car that I drove in high school and college.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's a 1998 Honda CRV. But it still runs and
that's great.
It goes. And so we have, we pay for the parking for that.
Okay, so parking, no car payment. So any other big bills? Having a pet is expensive.
Yes. Okay. His stuff, like...
Do you have insurance, health insurance?
For we don't have health insurance.
Pet insurance. Not health insurance, pet insurance.
Yeah, that's become much more popular since we got him, so...
Yeah, and it's something now some employers offer at work.
That's crazy. I wish. I really wish. because Augie is, like, 10, so okay. he's older, and so he does have, you know, that... bills. I would say probably, so his food we have delivered and it's $60 a month because he eats like special food. And then I estimated in terms of vet bills, we probably pay for him between like $1,500 and $2,000 a year total.
Yeah. I think sometimes people don't think about having a pet, but you have to, if they get sick, you have to take them to doctors. And they need
food. And different breeds have different
needs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's a little high maintenance.
Any other big expenses?
I'm trying to think. I, very lucky for me, didn't have any kind of student loans.
I was going to ask you, do you have any debt?
No, I went to a state school and I worked while I was in school.
Oh,
and
good for you.
So my parents were very generous. They helped me pay. They were like, as long as you have a job, we will, you know.
And help you cover it.
Yeah. So when I moved off campus, they were like, we're not paying for that. So I paid for that. And, you know, but again, state school. So
that's great. So no student loans.
Right. And my husband doesn't either. Okay. His parents paid for him.
Okay. And then what about any credit card debt?
So we do have some credit card debt from the renovation that we did for the kitchen. So we've paid down all but about $8,000 of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then do you know how much you're paying in interest on that?
So we actually have kind of juggled from interest-free credit card to interest-free credit card.
Okay.
So we, about 6 months, moved over to a different one.
Good, so you're still on 0%.
Yeah.
Awesome. And how long do you have on this one?
It was 18 months when we started, so it's been about 6 months. So we have, about a year to do that. That was kind of...
That's smart. I was going to ask you how much you were paying, and that was kind of my suggestion. So you beat me to it.
Oh, good. On the right track, at least.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, that's a good way to get ahead, is to, if you can do a 0%. And they usually charge you a balance transfer.
Right, yeah.
But it's usually worth it because you're paying so much in interest, so to pay the balance transfer will make sense to be able to get that 18 months of...
Exactly.
No interest.
Yeah.
And then how much are you putting towards it? Is your target to get it paid off in 12 months?
That is the target.
Okay.
I'm not very methodical about this. This is the problem.
Okay.
I try to put like $1,000 on it when I look at our statement and I'm like, okay, we can spare that.
Got it.
So that's what I've been doing the last 6 months. I think I've paid off like $3,000 of it. And you know, we still have that much left to go. So it's, again, not a great system.
Now, do you think you'll get a tax refund this year?
I typically do, but then
he doesn't. Because of the opting estimated.
So I think last year, I think we got about $2,000 back.
But he then owed your husband.
That was after.
Oh, after.
That
was
after, yeah.
Oh, okay. So if you end up getting money back, you could just throw that at the credit card, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that would tackle it.
That would be very responsible, yes.
Did you have it earmarked for something else?
No, it's not that. It's not that. It's, because we don't have a, like, I think for us, the big stuff we want to do, which is the renovations to the apartment, it seems so insurmountably, it's like when we were getting estimates and everything, it's so much money that it feels like for us to put, you know, $2,000 here or $1,000 here when the overall price tag is like $60,000 or $80,000.
Yeah, the renovations can be quite expensive.
It's like, oh, okay, well, I guess we'll have that saved up in about 5 years. So it doesn't feel, I know logically I should, but it just doesn't feel worth it, kind of. You know what I mean?
Because it doesn't feel like you're making a dent.
Right.
It's like, if you then, for the next renovation. Well, what's, actually, if the one thing I didn't ask you, so what are you net living on?
know what your gross is. What are you bringing in between you and your husband on average? Because I know his income varies monthly. Do you know about what you're living on? I can't remember.
All right. If I'm take home, $5,600.
Okay.
And my husband is take home, let's say,
$3,250. Is that including the difference? Some of the taxes he might owe? Or that's...
No, yeah, that's okay. Still, yeah. All of that gets taken out at the end of the year.
Yeah, for him. Okay, but yours is really take home.
Yeah.
Because you've paid all your taxes.
Yeah.
So let's just call his $2,500, because he really owes on that.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, $2,800 maybe.
That's fair.
Because you'll have to have that money available to pay the taxes. So you have about $8,400 coming in a month.
Yeah.
Okay. So is there anything that comes out of your pay? So do you pay for health insurance?
Yeah. Okay. So my job is actually extremely generous. It pays for both mine and his health insurance.
And you don't contribute?
No.
That's huge.
Yeah. It's great.
the listeners know, it's great when a company picks it up, but they normally pick up a piece of it, not the whole thing. And to give you an idea, a family plan can run upwards of, because it would be family plans, it would be you and your husband. It can be $1,900 a month.
Yeah, so before...
Our producer just gave me the craziest look, like, how is that possible? Health insurance? $1,900? It is. When you're working and the company might pay half of it, so maybe you pay, you know, the company picks up the employee's portion, and then they pay part of the spouse, so they pick up of the spouse's, it might be, I don't know, $1,000, they'll pick up $500. So you only see $500, but the actual cost, like, if you were going to go buy it out on your own... Like mine, I'm on Cobra right now, and so mine is about $900. So, and that's cheaper than having a small business plan.
Really?
Yeah.
Cobra is like notoriously expensive, right? Like it's crazy.
But owning a small business because you're not buying it with a corporation is actually more expensive than going through the Cobra. At least a comparable plan for myself. I have a better deal with Cobra because I'm getting dental, vision, and health insurance on a major plan versus a small little plan for a small business, and it was actually a bit more, but I didn't have dental and vision.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. So that's a huge savings right there.
It is. It is a newer development, though, because I just started this particular job in September. Prior to that, we were paying.
Oh.
And so we were on the Obamacare, like the market, you know? Okay. And so we got Oscar insurance.
Yeah, I know about Oscar.
Yeah. And we really liked them. Like, we loved them. But yeah, I mean, I think it was about $600 for...
Both of you.
No. Well, individually.
Individually.
So, yeah, it ended up being about $1,200 that we were paying out of pocket.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, so I wasn't far off. It depends on the plan. So Oscar, you have, I think, more co-pays.
Probably.
With your deductibles. But yeah.
Yeah.
So it's expensive. So that's fantastic that they're paying. And then do they have a 401k at work?
They do. Yeah.
Now, how long have you been there, you said?
Since September.
Okay, so not quite a year.
Right.
So are you allowed to participate in the 401k?
I'm allowed to. So I did sign up for it January 1. But they don't contribute until you've been there a year.
Okay. Yeah. Usually sometimes they make you wait, sometimes they don't contribute.
Yeah.
Okay, and then do you know what they contribute?
Oh, I should have brushed up on this.
No,
that's okay. It's pretty generous.
How much are you putting in?
So I want to put in 10%.
Great.
That is my... It hasn't kicked in yet. I'm not sure, like, what the... I don't know, something to do with, like, the business side of things on there. But I filled out the paperwork.
You filled out the paperwork.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then you pick the investments.
I think you can pick, like, whether you want aggressive or whatever.
You
that
check
kind
the
of
box.
Thing. Yeah.
Whatever. You're not in cash.
What does that mean?
That means it's not invested. Sometimes people, like, sign up and then forget to pick the investment option.
Oh, no.
Okay, good. Okay, so you did 10%. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's going to be a big difference on your monthly budget.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So you did 10%, and then you can look into what they're giving you, but it sounds like they're a generous company.
Yes. I think I want to say something, it's like 5% matching up. I'm not going to get this right, so I'm going to say it. I'm sorry.
No, it's
but
okay.
No, they're, I mean, I think in terms of their generosity, they're like, I don't know, maybe in the 75th percentile or something.
Okay.
I've been places that like did nothing. I've been places that did a little bit and they thought they were like giving us.
The world.
Yeah. So no, it seems pretty generous.
Okay, perfect. So you're already, and I normally suggest for the listeners who've been listening to all of them, a good starting point is 10% and then work your way up to 15.
Okay.
Just because you won't have a pension.
Right.
Nobody will have a pension except the very few people that we have that work in government jobs or a teacher. So it's important to save for retirement now because we have a long time.
Yeah.
So you're right on track. So 10% is my idea. And then have you saved for retirement before with your other jobs?
So that's the tricky thing.
Okay.
So because of what I do, I bounce around in terms of jobs. I've been at a couple
different... You said that's, like, really common in your industry.
Yes. Yeah, it's very normal for project managers to work at one place for, like, 18 months and then... you know, the agency will lose a client, and so they have to cut a bunch of staff, mm-hmm. and so then you're back on the market, and that kind of thing.
Okay.
Where I am right now, hopefully, is a little bit more stable, because I'm actually within, I'm at an internal agency within a bigger company.
Oh, okay.
So it's, I'm hoping that it's a bit more stable, but yeah, so I have a couple different 401ks with all of these, like, small amounts in them. Okay. I've got one that's got like 10,000 in it. I've got one that's got like 8,000 in it. I haven't done the rollover thing. I should. But yeah, so I think in terms of like total, mm-hmm. I probably have less than 20,000 saved, which is scary at my age.
No, but it's good that you're in. I think this new job is great, right? Cause you're making more money with them?
Yeah, a bit more. Not huge, but again, like, the benefits are really good.
The benefits are great. And so the other thing is to remember, you bought a place with 20% down, so that's huge. I think that's one of the best investments you can make, is buying a place. You've been saving, so you have about 20,000 saved, and you're in your new plan at 10%.
Yeah.
And you have health insurance covered. So I think those are all, like, really big components that are important. So, and now what about your husband? Does he do any savings?
He's
a freelancer, but he's in business for himself, right? So he doesn't have a company who's going to offer him health benefits or a savings plan, so he really needs to take care of it on his own.
Right.
Has he set anything up, or does he do anything on his own?
I think he has a couple of, Roth IRAs.
Okay.
But he doesn't actively contribute to them. I think he opened two at two different times, maybe when we were still dating.
Okay.
I think he's pretty reliant upon me to be making
care of it?
You know, and it's maybe a little bit of a sore subject, just because I do feel like it's not like I'm uniquely qualified for this. You know, it's not like I am you and I have a degree and I know what I'm doing. So it's a little bit like frustrating in that sense, because I'm trying to look out for both of us. And I think if I were on my own, what I'm doing is probably fine, because there's two of us.
But, yeah, we have to save more. Yeah, right. So I was just going to say that when you said that he isn't really doing anything. Because when you retire, he's going to want to retire too.
Right, yeah. He's, like, you know, well, you have to keep working forever.
Yeah. So when we talked about, like, how you figured out your finances and, like, doing a joint account and everything's split, like,
yeah.
Then it's fair to say that you both have to be saving, right? That
yeah.
If you're both spending the money, then you both have to be contributing to saving.
Yeah.
And if he's not as good at, like, usually in a couple, I see that one person kind of takes the lead, and sometimes it's by default, another, you know, because no one else is picking it up.
Right, yeah.
And then other times it's because the one person wants to be in charge. It's very rare that it's, like, both people equally.
Yeah.
At least I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
It's usually one person or the other. So, if you were the, by default...
Yeah, I'm to the,
in charge.
Right.
Of the finances, it would be a good idea for him to regularly contribute to something, just so that he's saving too.
Yeah.
Even if his income varies a bit.
Yeah.
And you can set it up automatic so that it just comes out of your checking account.
So what I have been doing, so I haven't had a 401k in a little while. Mm-hmm. So what I had been doing is I set up, do you know Betterment?
Yeah.
So I set that up maybe, I don't know, a year or so ago.
Okay.
Because I kind of just, I think I had like a mild panic attack at one point one day, and I was like, oh my God, I don't have anything right now. So I set that up. So right now, and it's not pulling a ton, I think it's like $200 a month or something.
Okay, good.
But that, we have that going too.
And that goes into an individual account or a joint account. How do you have it titled?
I don't know, actually.
That's a good question.
Okay.
So if it's going, it should be, if it's your and your husband's money, it should be set up as a joint account. So
okay.
God forbid something happened to one of you, it would automatically become the other person's.
Okay.
And you both have access to it. So let's say it's just in your name and he calls, he can't get to it.
Okay. All right.
So kind of like your checking account is set up with both names, right?
Yeah.
It should be the same sort of setup.
Okay.
Unless it's a Roth IRA.
No, I don't believe it is.
Okay. So accounts, so retirement accounts are always in single name because it's one person's retirement account, so it's linked to their Social Security,
mm-hmm.
and that's how the government tracks
right. Yeah.
Things in the future with your retirement. And private money, meaning money that you've already paid tax on, can be in two names, so joint.
Okay.
Like your checking account. So that's something to look at.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't normally ask those questions when you're setting them up, but that's a good idea to just make sure. It's called titling.
Okay.
And so... that's a good idea to do that. But do you have an emergency fund? Like, do you have cash available just in case?
So we don't have, like, a traditional savings. We have I sound like such a millennial. Have you heard of Digit? Do you know Digit?
Yes, I've heard of Digit. I technically won, too.
We are the same age. So Digit is our rainy day, our rainy day fund, which I really like because I don't have to think about it at all.
It rounds it up. Is that what it does?
What it does is there's some complex algorithm. So whenever you get paid, it looks at what you've spent and it looks at what you've got on hand. And it says you can probably stand to lose $100 or $50 or whatever. Right. So when you look at your checking account, they will have taken out like $5 here or $100 here.
Yeah, it's like little bits.
Yeah, increments, yeah.
Do you know how much you have in Digit?
Currently, we have almost $7,000 in Digit.
Awesome. Okay.
That is our rainy day slash travel fund. It's what we use to pay for any time we travel and then also just, you know, it's always going. We never turn it off, so.
No, that's a good idea. And owning an apartment, obviously things can go wrong and you need something fixed.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
That definitely helps. Okay, and then the other Betterment account, do you know how much you have in there?
I think there's about $4,000 in there.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
Have you thought about, like, I always really, really, really like having a rainy day fund because things always go wrong and you don't want to put on a credit card. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about using some of the money, because you have $11,000 saved, have you thought about using some of the money to pay off the credit card?
I've thought about it.
Okay,
so I'm just curious. I think maybe there's just something psychological, but it feels good to have the
cash.
Yeah.
That's usually the reason when people say I don't want to pay things off is that they prefer to have the cash.
Just in case. Yeah.
Because like once you do pay off the bill, then you don't have the cash.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, if you paid it off, it would force you to replenish the cash more quickly?
No, because, I mean, it's very passive with the Digit. It just takes it as it. So it's really nice to, you know, it's like an app or whatever. So you text. You're like, what's in my savings, Digit? And Digit, it's like
$6,000.
And that feels great. But, you know, I think I could probably, like, elect to put more money in there or something. So maybe. But, yeah, I think I just feel comfortable having that, like, running amount of money in there. Yeah.
Okay. Because I would say my biggest concern for you is getting that credit card paid off. I know it's at 0%. As long as you get it paid off in the 12 months.
Yeah.
That would be good. Because then you could start saving towards your next house project.
Yes. Yeah.
Although I agree, $60,000 is a daunting amount.
It's two bathrooms. It's a lot.
Bathrooms and kitchens, right, are the most expensive in terms of doing construction.
Yeah.
The other thing, could you do a home equity line of credit?
So that's the weird thing.
Because of the program?
Because of the program and then also co-ops. So there are a lot of banks that just won't lend to co-ops, period. And then, yeah, the program, because the banks know it's not like this high, it's, I guess, I don't know if it's high risk investment or whatever, but it's not as easy
to recoup the investment. I would look into not putting, because you have to, even if you save part of it, it sounds like then you're putting the difference on a credit card.
Yeah.
Which is tricky because those interest rates are so high. I would investigate, maybe if you did, I know this doesn't sound, this is not going to like this answer, maybe one bathroom at a time.
Yeah. No, we've talked about that.
Okay.
We've talked about that. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's bad. But there's also the issue of, like, we need these bathrooms, but we're also, like, getting to the age where we're talking about having a family.
Oh, okay. So we might go a little longer on this session. This is maybe a longer podcast. So we have a lot of goals. How much do you really want these bathrooms?
I know, but that's the thing.
Maybe a bathroom, but
that's the problem. Is like I wouldn't feel great. These bathrooms are disgusting. Maybe I'm sounding like a diva person.
No, but is there a way
to
get like a cheaper, like, there's got to be a way we can like hack this together a little bit.
That would be great. I'm here for whatever you've got to like.
Okay, so let's go over the family goal. So you want to have kids soon?
Yes, within the next like 2 years. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, because, I'm overwhelmed for a moment, because, like, bathrooms...
Share my overwhelming.
Okay, I'm sharing overwhelming, or overwhelmingness. Is that correct grammar?
Anyone? Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, so, because kids are expensive, and you want to make sure you have, I'm happy with what you have with the Betterment and the Digit account, but kids are expensive,
yeah.
So, like, you definitely have to have that cash, and then you need to get the credit card. I would want you to have the credit card paid off before you have kids, and then... But $60,000 is a lot to come up with.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think you'd have to be on a pretty tight budget to get this all done.
It's very...
Because you have good income, because you're saving, because this is your income now without the 10% and the 401k, which I definitely think you should do. Because I would say you probably want to start saving like $2,000 a month.
Yeah, that's like baseline what daycare would cost. And I mean, thankfully, given my husband's schedule, I don't think we'd have to do full-time daycare, mm-hmm. but still, we would have to...
You should try that budget out now.
Okay.
Because what you don't want to do is then have a kid and then be like, oh, crap.
Right.
This is going to be really tough.
Well, that's why this exercise was really interesting, because okay. I realized like what we're spending money on is like basically experiences.
Okay.
Like we're spending money on travel. We're spending money on eating out, like a mm-hmm. ton of eating out.
Okay.
And we're spending money on, because my husband works in the entertainment industry, he's like going to see shows a couple nights a week.
He can write that off.
Yes. Yeah. And I think he does.
Yeah, he like keeps. He should be keeping a log.
But like we don't spend money on stuff, you know? Yeah. And, I think our lifestyle would have to change. I mean, it'd change anyway if we were to have a kid.
I don't know.
That's the nightmare, right? That's what everybody says. Like, suddenly you just never see your friends again. But, I mean, it's going to change. But I think right now we are kind of just really enjoying that, the freedom.
The freedom that you have.
Because we don't, you know, we're not, we don't at this point have to be super wary of mm-hmm. like, oh, if you want to go out and you want to spend $40 randomly at a bar one night, that's fine.
Because you have the income.
And that, it was not always the case.
Right, right, like, so you're enjoying it, which is totally fair.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's where we'd have to make up the difference.
Other wrench I'm going to throw in is once you have a child, and I was going to probably suggest this anyway, you should consider life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Because your mortgage is based on both incomes.
What do you mean by that?
So the payment, so you bought the apartment together, you and your husband?
Yeah.
So it's based on his income and your income?
Yes.
Most likely, though, if anything happened to one of you, if the other person could afford it. I think your husband would struggle a bit more because his income varies, but you would be able to afford the $2,000 a month on your income.
He'd just get a lot of roommates.
You would have to bring in roommates, yeah. So I think you're okay without having... Typically, I recommend if you have a mortgage, you have life insurance. So if you lose your partner or your spouse, that you wouldn't also lose the home.
Yeah.
But I think you'd be okay. But when you go to have a child, then that's when you really have to think about having life insurance to potentially provide for that child. Yeah. You don't have to, but it's a prudent thing to do.
Yeah.
I normally recommend it. And you can do term insurance, which is the temporary one. So it's really affordable.
Well, yeah, is that what you would suggest?
That's what I would suggest. Okay. That's what I did. And not to say what I did is the right situation for everybody, not to say this is necessarily the right situation for you, you can investigate it. But in my online class, I give you the breakdown between doing a whole life, which is a permanent policy, versus a term. But just so you have an idea, if you did $500,000 at age 30, so we're a little bit beyond, so it'd be a little bit more expensive. The whole life, I think, was like $455 a month versus term was $35.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
To be able to get to all the goals, which would be like getting the bathrooms done, having a child, saving for retirement. I mean, we have a lot of things going.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to like spend all of your money on life insurance, at least I wouldn't want to.
Right.
So in order to be able to check all the boxes, and the temporary insurance really serves the purpose that it gets you the coverage you need, but you don't spend a ton of money on it.
Got it.
And yeah. It's temporary. After 20 or 30 years, whatever the time frame is, it goes away.
Okay.
And I do a whole section, there's one whole day on just life insurance on the online class.
Cool.
Which is a good thing, because you don't want to get, a lot of people make a big mistake with life insurance. They get sold the really expensive one because the insurance broker, who all they sell is insurance, so you can guess when you meet with them when you leave that they're going to have sold you insurance. They don't sell anything else. You leave with, like, the most expensive one, and they tell you it'll do everything. Like, if you asked if it would, like, clean your apartment, they'd be like, yeah, of course, it'll clean your apartment, whatever you want it to do, just sign here. But so that's another thing you have to consider, too.
Okay.
And that won't be a big cost, but, like, that might be another $100 a month for you and you and your husband to have, like, a little bit of life insurance to cover.
Okay.
Now that you have a dependent.
Right?
Yeah.
More than just my dog.
Yeah, yes. More than just your dog. Who's super cute, but if something happens to you, we don't need life insurance for him.
No, really not.
Okay, so here's what I would say. I think that you have really good income, and I totally understand wanting to enjoy it because you worked hard to get to this income level and you don't want to sacrifice at the moment. But it would be a good practice to say, okay, let's pretend like this is what our budget is and let's test it out.
Yeah.
Right, and see how it goes. And that would also save, if you did $2,000 a month, that would get rid of the credit card and put another $4,000 in an emergency fund.
True.
And then say, okay, after 6 months, let's evaluate where we are. Like, do we want to keep spending at this level? Or if we're going to have a child, like, what are the things we're willing to cut out?
Yeah.
You don't have to cut out everything. You just have to... You just have to make some adjustments.
Yeah, I think it's just overwhelming to think about, like, okay, what is the thing that we are going to...
Sit down, yeah. And it doesn't have to be the same thing all year. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
It could be, like, for 6 months, we're, like, going to bring lunches to work. You can, like, alternate. That's what I always tell people. It doesn't have to be the same thing all year.
Yeah, because I think that feels very sad.
It feels very sad. Yeah, exactly. But you could, like, and you could, or you could do it monthly. There's a lot of different ways you can do it. It doesn't have to be, I actually suggest, like, in the class, I think, like, you rotate two things.
Oh, okay. That's, if it's more like an experiment, that I think I could sell to my husband more than just like, all right, that's it, no more coffee. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that to me is the saddest thing. I just don't want to have to give up my coffee. But, you know, I'd be willing to rotate that in and see how it goes.
Yeah, and like, and you don't have to, but that would be my suggestion to get the credit card, like, paid off. And then that way you could test out what it would be like to have daycare expense and see. The other way to do it is, like, when it happens, it will just happen.
Right.
And that's another way to do it, too.
That's what people say, though. People are like, oh, well, yeah, you have to. You know, if you wait until you're ready, you'll never be ready.
Exactly.
So, but I'm a, you know, a preparer and a planner, so I would like to know what I'm getting myself into a little bit more.
Yeah, I would test out trying to do a little higher savings for your own savings and see if you can get the credit card knocked off and, like, put some more in the emergency fund and then see how does that feel budget-wise for you and your husband.
Yeah.
To see how that goes. And then that would prepare you for... Okay, like, what would our expenses be when we have a child for daycare? Because daycare is, as you said, daycare is really expensive. It's going to be as much as your mortgage, potentially.
I know. It's really bad in the city, too. Like, $2,000 a month is cheap for daycare. That's, like, good luck finding.
That is breathtaking.
I know. It's daunting, yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on. I feel like we covered a lot here today. We do a 6-month... I was saying 6 to 12 month checkup, like, to see how things are going.
Okay.
So if you want to come back in.
Sure,
You can find out about your 401k match. And then also find out what their vesting schedule is. So, like, how long you need to stay to keep it since you bounce around.
Okay.
So you can see how long you would need to stay to keep the free money.
Yeah.
And then I'd be interested to see if you do a test budget.
Okay.
And I would just sit down with you and your hubby and, like, I don't know, do you like wine?
Yeah, obviously,
over a glass of wine or whatever, and be like, okay, like, let's come up with, like, an ideal budget where we can save more and figure out what we want to cut out to get there, and I would do it together and test it out.
Okay.
Yeah. And then that, and you can use that extra money to pay off that credit card, and then you can put more in emergency, which would help cover a future renovation.
That's a great way to sell it, actually, is that, you know, just doing this test will allow us to pay that off. Because while I don't think he's super proactive about it, he does stress about it. He is worried about it. So, yeah, this will be good. This will be a good
kind of... Yeah, and you don't do 6 months. It'd be like, for 3 months, we're going to set up a budget. We're going to determine it together, figure out what we're willing to cut out, figure out what our goal for savings is. I think $2,000 is ideal because that's kind of what daycare will run. And then that gives you an idea of what it's going to feel like.
Yeah.
I think it's because money can cause a lot of financial strain. And you don't want to have, like, a new baby and be going back to work and then feel like... financially stressed out.
That's a great point.
It just seems like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, you can do a test run, and if it sucks, you can stop, right? I mean, you can't stop if you're, you can't just,
once,
like,
the kid's here,
once the kid's
you
here,
can't
you
stop.
Can't be like, well, this sucks. I can't afford this. I don't want to do it anymore. So I would do it as a test run, and that will get the credit card paid off, and then kind of reevaluate from there. And I think you'll be surprised once you figure out what the things are that you each are going to kind of give up to make the savings happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll be surprised that it's not as hard as it seems.
I think we're not thinking about it. At the point where we're actually cognizant of it, I think it will be easier. But right now, we're just kind of, like...
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. So it doesn't make a big difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, and I'm interested to check back with you.
Cool, yeah. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And so to learn more about how to make your money work for you, and as we talked about today with the life insurance, the difference between a permanent policy and term, you can check out our online class at www.planancial.com.